I've been really impressed by the Holy Spirit to share something very specific with you over the next few weeks. I believe the Lord's been speaking to me and telling me to share the mission of this church with you. And before I do that, I really want to say that I feel like I've been negligent over the years and really impressing this upon us. I think I've done an okay job of sharing the vision of Capstone, but I don't think I've done a good job at all of sharing the mission of Capstone. And so today is a beginning of a correction of that and looking forward to a little bit different focus going forward. And I'm just going to keep something before you going forward. I'm not saying I'll speak about this every week, but I just feel like the Lord's really been impressing this upon me over the last few weeks. So before I share this word, though, I want to say that I'm reminded of something that Pastor Steve shared with us last Sunday. And one of the things, among many wonderful things that Pastor Steve shared with us last week, one of the things that he shared with us was that he stated that the greatest judgment that God can release upon humanity is to back off and turn people over to their own wicked desires. And you know what? I agree with that. I think the worst thing that God can do, even, and I'm not downplaying tragedy, I really am not. Tragic events that come into this country like 9/11, I'm not downplaying that. Those things are heartbreaking. They're heart-wrenching and gut-wrenching. But the thing that makes me the most afraid, I'm more afraid than a terrorist attack, more afraid than anything else, the thing that makes me more afraid of anything is that God would just simply leave us alone. I have a great, great fear of that. And our mission as a church depends upon God's continued conviction in this area, in our land, and in this entire world. And our mission, the mission that God has given us as a church, speaks very simply of our role in God's plan to reach humanity with His grace. And our mission is summed up just in a couple of words that are easy to remember. And it's this, it's tell somebody. Everybody say, tell somebody. Tell somebody. Now look at your neighbor and preach to them. Say, tell somebody. I can remember one time my wife and I picked up my youngest daughter who's here today. I've got both of my daughters here. And my youngest daughter, one time we picked her up from her grandmother's house, but where she had been staying while my wife was working. And I'll never forget when Rhonda picked her up, my daughter was a little bit puffed up. Anybody ever picked up your kid or gotten onto your kid and they puff up like a toad? Kind of look like a toad? So she was looking kind of toady that day when we picked her up, and Rhonda asked her what was wrong, and she said, Meemaw, tell me something. Meemaw, tell me something. Well, we need to be telling something to everybody else in this world. In case you didn't hear at the very beginning of church, we've got a couple of longtime church members here, Jose and Victoria Garza, and they had a cousin who was murdered in this city this weekend. Okay, and this was a man who Carlos Montalvo told me had come a few times to Mercy Heart, our ministry to incarcerated families and recent parolees and recently released folks. That happens every Thursday night at 6 p.m. He'd been coming. And you know what? He won't come anymore. Whatever we had, that was our shot. And I'm not saying we didn't do good. I'm not saying we didn't do what we needed to. I'm just saying that life is short. And somebody you see today, you may not see anymore after today. And this is a serious and important and powerful thing that God has set us in the middle of, this thing called reaching out to the world with the love of Jesus Christ. Now, let's stop that for a second. Let's go back. I want to share with you what our vision is here at Capstone. Not our mission, but our vision. And our vision is an inseparable part. Everybody say inseparable. It's an inseparable part of what God has called us to be. Okay? We can't separate the mission and the vision from one another. Okay? They go together. And our vision's found in Matthew 22, 37 and 38, where it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Does anybody know what this is called? The great what? The great commandment. You're ahead. Now, this is called the great commandment, right? Do y'all know that? It's called the great commandment. Okay. Now, you know what? We can do a lot of things. We can even do a lot of good things in this earth. But if we don't love the Lord in the way that's prescribed right here, we have failed. I don't care how much aid we do. I don't care how many good things we do. This is our foundation. This is our goal. This is what we're shooting for. This is our destination, is to love the Lord our God with everything that we've got. Now, there's another part of that commandment, and the second part is part of it, but it's conditional to us doing this part first, and it's as essential as the first part of this. And it is this, and the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Jesus spent his entire ministry showing us how that these two commands are lived out. He spent his entire ministry doing that. His life was and is our example on how to live and how to love. Now, when Jesus got ready to leave his disciples and return to his Father, he gave them a command. And I want to share with you this command today. And the command that he gave them was a release of the extension and completion of his own ministry. In other words, when he got ready to go back and sit down at the right hand of the Father as conquering King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he said, "I am entrusting you, I am commissioning you, I am charging you with the finishment, the completion of my own ministry." Woo! That is pretty powerful. And if that doesn't send some goosebumps on you today, you need to be raised from the dead. Now, this is what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. He said, "Partial authority has been given to me." Is that what he said? No. He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven, but none on the earth." No. Now, you're going to have to understand, Jesus is saying something in this first sentence that is punctuating and endorsing his power to be able to say what comes after this. Okay? He's reinforcing his ability to release what he's going to say after. He said, "Look, I've got the authority to release what I'm about to tell you." And so, after telling them this, he said, "Go, because of the authority and the commandment I've given you, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Okay, now we talked about the great commandment a minute ago. What is this one called? The Great Commission. Yes, the Great Commission. Okay, what is a commission? Okay, it's not something you get paid when you sell something. What's in a commission? A commission is an instruction, a command, or a duty given to a person or a group of people. So it would be a group of people, everybody look at the next two words, officially charged with a particular function. Oh, it's quiet in here today. So what does that mean? That means that the Great Commission is the instruction, command, and duty given to all the people known as Jesus' disciples. Now, if you're a disciple of Jesus today, I want you to stand. Just for a minute. Okay. All right, that's pretty well everybody. If you're not standing, I want to, what are you? I mean, you may sound harsh, but it's a question that needs to be asked. All right, you may be seated. I just wanted to know to whom Jesus was talking to when he said these beautiful words. Now today's just an introduction. That's all it is. In the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about how to do this. We're going to be talking about closing the deal. We're going to be talking about what the enemy tries to send along to us to keep us and to throw us off track when we're out here fulfilling our commission. But today, this is just an introduction, okay? Now, if statistics are any reflection of reality, we have a problem, brothers and sisters, in the body of Christ. And when I saw this, I nearly fell on the floor in repentance. But statistics are showing us that 95% of all Christians have never led another person to Christ. That's not 9.5%. That's not 25%. That's not half. That's not three-fourths. That's nearly all. So thank God for that half a Christian out there. That 0.5 Christian. Now I want you to think about our world. The gospel of Jesus Christ has gone over this world down through history like a tsunami. There are still places it needs to invade. But with this type of statistic there, then what has happened in the spread of the gospel is nothing short of a miracle. It testifies not to the power necessarily of the body of Christ and our ability to walk in the authority of the Lord. It testifies in the goodness of God. And in what can happen through that 0.5 Christian who would be willing to go out there and say, Lord, I receive what I'm called to do and I'm going to do it in your power with all my heart. Look at what has happened. We have over 2 billion Christians in the world today. Pastor Steve talked about that. Think about what would happen to this world if every single believer began to flow in their commission. We would have nothing short than revival. Nothing short of revival. Now, from looking at this statistic, at 95% have never led someone to Christ. So what that showed me is that for many of the followers of Christ, the Great Commission has instead become the Great Omission. And you know what? That's not just tragic for the world. That's dangerous for the commissioned. It's getting awful quiet again. Should I do a soft shoe? Would that entertain you? I feel like Maximus in the movie Gladiator when he was down there fighting in that outback arena somewhere. He's killing people and stuff, and he threw his sword up into the thing. He said, are you not entertained? Is that not why you're here? Are you here to be entertained, or are you here to flow in the commission that God has for us? You see, there's two types of sins that we can commit. One are the sins of commission. And the sins of commission is doing what we should not do. We've got these down pretty well. We understand there's a lot of things that we should not do, and we understand what those things are, and most of us stay away from those things. But there's also another type of sin. It's called a sin of omission. And the sin of omission is not doing what we should do. And they're both real. Now, if Jesus has stated through his authority that we are to go and make disciples, if he has called us the light of the world, a city on a hill, the salt of the earth, then to have no effect upon anyone falls short of our calling, but also the whole reason for which we're created. Jesus said, if the salt loses its saltiness, I can find a lot of other uses for it. Is that what he said? He said it's good for to be thrown out and be trampled by men. And you know what? I think that's what he's saying when we've lost our saltiness. That's what's happening. We're just out there and men are trampling all over us like somebody who has no power. And how can we call ourselves little Christ, which is what Christian means, when our mission looks nothing like his? You see, Jesus didn't say go into all the world and create a business. He didn't say go into all the world and find a mate. He didn't say go into all the world and have a family. Nothing wrong with those things, but that's not what he said. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. Pastor Bob, am I okay so far? Am I all right, Pastor Bob? Am I okay so far? Okay, you're sitting there. Sometimes you have that look on your face when I say something I shouldn't say. You all right? Okay. All right, we okay? Am I okay? Okay. You're listening? It's hitting your heart. Well, good. Then that means something's happening. All right. So since God said go and make disciples, then here's something that we need to think in our life and rethink about our life. Any goal that we have in our life that does not have as a primary component the making of disciples is not Jesus worthy. That's even true in your family. You get married, you're going to get married. You know what you're wanting to do? You're wanting to be disciples. You're wanting you and your wife to be disciples, and the whole desire is to create disciples. Through that union, have a little fun along with it and learn some things about love and servitude and death to self. I told the Wednesday night group, I said, one of the three things that causes me to go to the cross more often than anything is my marriage. Anybody else that's married understand that? That's a good thing. He who finds a wife or a husband finds a good thing and has received favor of the Lord. You know why? Because God planted a cross right in the middle of your house. And you have multiple opportunities on a daily basis to go there and die to self. Okay? So, you know, I hear a lot of longtime believers. You know, something happens to us when we've been in the Lord a long time. And I'm not just talking about we get old. I'm talking about we've known the Lord a long time. Something interesting seems to happen to us. You know, we hear something like this and we go, I know that. I know that. I heard what you said. I got that on day one when I was saved. And sometimes we actually live this way. I know this. I know what you're saying, Pastor. As a matter of fact, I know it so well, I'm not doing it. You know what the translation of that is? You don't know it. If you say you know something you're not doing, you don't know it. But if something seems to happen to us, Pastor Bob, as we get older in the Lord, we tend to become complacent and jaded even a little bit. Now, I'm not saying we still don't go to church, read our Bible, and pray. We love on our fellow believers, and we do our best to order our behavior. But something seems to happen to us, and our urgency to reach the lost seems to wane in light of seeing God do whatever he wants to do to bring prosperity, comfort, and growth in our own lives. Okay? And now, there's a weird thing that happens to you when you're not flowing in the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, when those two things are not the forefront of your life. When those things are not at the forefront of your life, then you are really left, you have nothing left to prove your spirituality other than to become a critic. Now let me say that again. And I have found this in my own life. When you're not focused on your commission as a believer and the commandment that God has given to us, really the only thing that becomes left in our life through which we can perform our prove our own spirituality is to become a critic. Let me explain what I mean. I'm glad you wanted me to expound on that. Such things like this. The music at church is too loud. The music at church is too soft. Church is too small. Church is too big. Pastor's sermons are too long. They're spending too much time talking to unbelievers. But I have a solution today for that. I really do. You know what the solution is? Take a non-believer to church next Sunday or Wednesday with you. That's a solution to that. Because when you do that, it's going to change your whole view of what's going on. Instead of sitting there and going, this ought to be different, that ought to be, you're going to be earnestly in prayer. Lord, please have the pastor give an invitation. I had somebody the other day that said, I was here the other day and I brought a non-believer and you didn't give an invitation. So, I mean, see what they were looking for? They're looking for an opportunity to get involved in helping that person stay consistent and to grow in the Lord. And you're going to be praying for that pastor's sermon. And a lot of times you're going to be praying that sister so-and-so doesn't have a Holy Ghost fit that day. Now, how many of you grew up in the charismatic church? I'm just a little segue, side trip here. You know, used to you invite your friends to church and they'd finally decide to go with you, and your prayer was, Lord, please don't let Sister Johnson speak in tongues today, or can we just have a normal service today, Lord? And the reason I'm saying that is not because I'm ashamed, but because I don't want my friend to get freaked out. And it never fails. That's the day three people undress. Sister Johnson not only speaks in tongues, she jumps six pews. Yeah, a three-hour sermon from somebody. Church goes till 4:30. The demon-possessed guy shows up that day. Anybody ever experienced that? You know what I mean? And you're like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. As my dad, he calls that a twofer. That's the first and last time they will be there. But anyway, you just have to turn those things over to God. Because you know what? New believers are the vitality of the established Christian. They're our vitality. Many of us are just flat bored as believers. We're just bored. And you know what? I'm going to throw something out there. If we were fulfilling the Great Commission, we wouldn't have time to be bored. We'd be too busy and fulfilled talking to non-believers. We'd be praying for non-believers. We'd be praying for the church. We'd be praying for the leaders. We'd be praying for the harvest. And then we'd be teaching and training the new believers that are coming in. We just wouldn't have time to be bored. We'd be too challenged. We would be growing. We would be useful. But when this is not our focus, then we fall back into the only spirituality which we can show, which is judging other people's. Tommy needs to take more baths. The pastor just spoke about that same thing 6 weeks ago. I don't like the music. I don't like this. Have you heard what my sister, have I told you what my sister's doing? And the next thing you know, when you get together as believers, it becomes a conversation about everybody's family member or whatever that's not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And we're trying to pull some kind of feeling good about ourselves by being able to spiritually discern that and point that out. And that somehow justifies to us our lack of being out there doing what God's calling us to do. Next time you start sitting around in one of those meetings and you start to start realizing, you know what, the reason we are where we are is we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're not focused on what we're supposed to be focused on. Okay? Now, I'll finish today. Somebody says, thank God. I'll finish today with these words from British preacher Charles Spurgeon. Spurgeon was speaking here of non-believers. When he was giving this talk, he said the first sentence we could stop and chew on this forever. The Holy Spirit will move them by first moving you. I've got a misspelled word in there, but I'll tell you where it is. The Holy Spirit will move them by first. If you can rest without them being saved, then they will, that's supposed to be rest, then they will rest too. If you can rest without them being saved, they'll fall into rest. You know what? I think that's what's happening right now. But if you're filled with an agony for them, if you cannot bear that they should be lost, you will soon find that they are uneasy too. If you are uneasy about their condition, you will soon find they will begin to become uneasy about their condition as well. I hope, and this is Charles Spurgeon, I hope you will get into such a state that you will dream about your child or about your hearer perishing for lack of Christ. And start up out of your bed. That's what he means. Wake up in a start at once and begin to cry, "Oh God, give me converts or I die." And look at what he said at the end. When you get to that place like that, then, everybody say then, then you will have converts. Then you will have converts. And you know, I have to admit in front of you today, I've got a ways to go in this. And I have been negligent in challenging you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But brothers and sisters, that looks like something when that happens. And what that looks like is that looks like a desire in us to fulfill the commandment and the commission that our God gave us to us. He entrusted us. I want you to think about this, Pastor Steve. He entrusted us with the completion of his mission. Wow. Wow, have you ever thought of it really that way? Wow. Now, I'm not here to condemn you today because condemnation, there is none in Christ Jesus. But what I'm here to do today is to provoke us, okay, to love and good works. And I want, if you would, mission, if you would, hand. We look at what you've already done in this world and we're amazed. And I don't know that it was always this way, as what recent statistics show us, but Lord, there may have been a lot more people sharing their faith down through history than there are now. I don't know, but all I know is I live in the now. And Lord, I don't want to stand before you one day, and I know I'm going to go to heaven if I believe in you, but I don't want to stand before you one day and you look at me and say, "Son, daughter, how could you not have been moved by what you saw around you?" Lord, I'll admit to you, I really don't know how to do this. And Lord, we're going to believe that over the next few weeks, you're going to show us a little more about that. But God, we're willing. And in my bumbling, fumbling efforts, even right now, Lord, I won't be ashamed of you. Because the Bible says, the Apostle Paul wrote, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Because if I'm ashamed of the gospel, then I've locked to salvation to those who it could affect. So, Father, we pray today, even in the face of intimidation, we pray that you would make us into the greatest generation of soul winners that the Christian church has ever seen in the history of its existence. Pour in our hearts a love for people. When we see them crying, break our hearts over that. When we see them hurting, smite our heart. When we think of those that are out there that are starving with no hope, let us ask the question, how can I, O God? How can I, O God, be a part of helping them and reaching them? Lord, we thank you for your mercy. And we believe today is a new day. And no matter what has happened in the past, Lord, we believe that you will forgive it and that you're a God that will move forward with us from this day. So with all joy and forgetting about our failures of the past, we move ahead in zeal, in love, and in compassion. Father, give us a thick skin so that somebody's disagreement with us will just bounce off of us and doesn't even matter. But keep our compassion hot. So, Father, if all we can do is share a prayer with somebody and give us the courage and the love to do that. And Lord, we give you all the praise, and we're trusting you over the next few weeks to lead us to be much more like you. And we give you glory. Let's lift our hands to him. You know why I'm lifting my hands? Because I need mercy. And I'm receiving it right now. I'm so thankful my God is not a God who looks at the past. But he's looking from today forward. And Father, I receive that. And look forward to the future. And that future starts today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Praise God.